teachers or supernatural help. And we began looking at a couple of things. How many of you were around last week? And you knew where we stopped, right? So we're going to pick it up from there today. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory to God. Okay. Matthew 1:1. It is the book of the generations of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It says, so Matthew opens up his writing by reading from Genesis. It says the book of the generations. That word generations, like I said to us, is the word Genesis. So he opens up by saying the book of the generations, Genesis of Jesus. So I said, something you must never forget as a good Bible student is to know where are they writing from, right? Where are they reading from? I will say, in scripture, every latter prophet is interpreting a previous prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. So the writers of the synoptics were interpreting the 39 books, Genesis down to Malachi. So it says, it calls it the book of the generations. So it's opening up and it's telling you what is writing is from Genesis. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And they were writing the incarnation of Jesus in man, God and man. Hallelujah. So when you say the book of Genesis of Jesus, the son of David, son of Abraham, we say it is the seed of God that will come through the lineage of men. So yes, son of David, son of Abraham, it means Jesus is going to be what? God and man. This, that, or Jesus is God and man. That's what they are writing. So the incarnation is not Jesus as a man alone. It is God as a man. You see that? So Jesus is God and man. Jesus being God is our firm belief as believers. Hope you're hearing it. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Amen. You get to Mark. Mark uses another word. How are you? Mark uses another word. Mark 1. It says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, we said, when you hear the word Son of God there, your mind goes to Son of David, Son of Abraham. Did you see that? So, it's telling you he's Son of God. You use the word beginning again, archaeomai, used for Genesis. Meaning, the Genesis of what is writing to you, you have to read it from the Genesis. That's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. You have to read it from where? Genesis. Very vital. Go back and read it from Genesis. He calls him the Son of God, making you see that Jesus is deity. Amen. So when he has Son of God there, you mean this is God. Hallelujah. Who has become a man. So Jesus is called Son of God because of what? He is now a man. Functionality. As I've taught you that, right? So Jesus is called Son of God because of his function. Functionality. So he's called Son because of function. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a good Bible student, therefore, mustn't get detached. You mustn't get detached from where they are reading from. I said this to us last week, and I'm going to say it again. If you read the synoptic and it doesn't take you back to Genesis, then you're not reading. You're not reading well. Hallelujah. Because the synoptics will take you back to Genesis, not to Malachi. Hallelujah. You have to read everything again. We read them again. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You have to reread them again. Again and again. Glory to God. So he says, Son of David, Son of Abraham. I mean he calls him Son of God. Making you see that Jesus is deity. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Jesus is God. Glory to God. Jesus is God. When you get, and they were writing it for you to see. They're not writing it for you, no. So the story of Jesus is not a tales by moonlight story. Okay, everybody. The story of Jesus is scripture fulfilled. They were writing the story of Jesus and they were writing it for scripture. Okay, everybody. Amen. Amen. So the story of Jesus is silent night. Holy night. Why don't the Bible? Where's the Bible? Where were we? So they were writing specifically for you to see that Jesus is both God and man. Amen. So the story of Jesus is not told by moonlight. Hallelujah. And you mustn't get detached. Don't get detached. So when you read, some people read their Bibles and their mind is on CBN. You know what is CBN? Christian Bible Story. No. Amen. You must read your Bible and you mustn't be detached from where they were writing from. Genesis down to Malachi. You hope you're hearing me. Amen. Amen. Reading the Bible and what's going to happen is story time or story time.
No.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. John specifically was writing for you to see that Jesus is God of the Old Testament book. So he wrote, in the beginning was the Word. Word there is the word Dabar. In the beginning was the Dabar. The Dabar was with God, and God is the Dabar, or the only Dabar is God. So when you use the word Dabar there, is used for the visible reality of God within the Old Testament books, right? Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel chapter number 3 verse 21, it said, and the Lord appeared to Samuel in Shiloh by the word, by the name, the word of the Lord. So he appeared to Samuel in Shiloh as Dabar Yahweh. Did you see that? The Dabar. In Genesis chapter 15 verse 1, he said the word of the Lord came to Abraham saying. You see that? So the word of the Lord came saying. So the Dabar Yahweh is the visible reality of God within the Old Testament book. And John is saying that Dabar Yahweh, that the Patriarch, that the elder saw, the prophet saw, he said he is Jesus who became a man. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So, and every Jew knows that the Dabar Yahweh is God himself. So when John writes it, John is writing for you to see that Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we said, how would they write? They will write in shorthand, right? I want to explain what shorthand is now. Now, when you hear the word shorthand, so that you don't think it's the shorthand you did in business studies. When you hear shorthand means they will use, for example, I'm writing from a big book, right? And I wanted to go back to the big book to see what I'm writing for. So rather than me replicating the whole big book, right, into my small notes, I will now use shorthand, right? So that you would, when you see things like, for example, I want to explain, or rather than me writing dictive or going at Dnipri, you know that name is long. It's a sentence. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So now I want to write it. But because let's say dictive or going at Dnipri is a note. Right? I don't want to write it in a smaller note. So a shorthand will mean, rather than calling in my own, rather than calling Dixon or going at Dnipri, now if I ask what is his full name, I'm telling his full name now. It's made known to the world. Amen. Rather than writing Dixon or going at Dnipri, I will now write Batulak. So when you see Batulak, you will know his what. You have to go back again and read the narrative. Who is Batulak? Why? Because rather than writing Dixon or going at Dnipri, a big guy with broad chest, big wounds, even like Goliath. You know, that's description. Now I put Batulak. Remember, you see Batulak, you go back to the original to see what is Batulak. So you begin to read the narrative of Batulak. Oh, the guy with a big broad shoulder that looks like Goliath, Dixon or going at Dnipri. Did you see that? Right? So rather than writing Dixon or going at Dnipri, a big broad, back, fat, big guy, AFPS or whatever, and putting it in one note, I've shortened this with one word, right? Batulak. Hope you're following me. So a shorthand is like that, where a whole full narrative has been shortened to a word, sometimes a phrase. Did you see that? A word or a phrase. So, as a good Bible student, when I see such a phrase or such a word, what will I do? I will go back right? I will go back to where? I will go back to where they are writing from to reread the narrative. Hallelujah. To reread the narrative. For example, I've always said this. When you find the word redeem or redeem. Now, redeem, when you find the word redeem, the narrative of redeem, many times we say the narrative of redeem means only when they were coming out of Egypt. No, it goes beyond that. The narrative of redeem starts from when they went to Egypt. You see that? Their stay in Egypt and how God rescued them from Egypt. Did you see that? That is it. So whenever I read the New Testament and I find redeem, I'll go back and reread the narrative. Did you see that? There's a narrative to redeem. So I'll go and reread the whole narrative of redeem. That is what it is. So rather than them writing, as you see, okay, let's say Jesus is talking and then he speaks about redeem, or the writers write redeem. They will not start writing Exodus, this, no. It's a shorthand. So you go back. We read what took them to Egypt. Sin, right? That is a narrative of sin, slavery, sin, under bondage, and then God comes and God rescues them. Did you see that? So you read the rescue, a clash of gods. Did you see that? Those are the narratives of redeeming. Okay, follow me. Amen. So you have to read the narrative. So shorthand means a word or a narrative, an event has been narrowed down to a word or a phrase. So I'll have to go back and read the narrative or that event to know what the writer is saying when he uses what? That shorthand. Hope you're following it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, and said, in looking at that narrative of the word, you ask yourself the question, what is the cultural connotation, cultural context of words in their world? Right? What is the cultural context, connotation of words in their world? What is it? What is the cultural context of words in their world? So, we said, therefore, Bible study is serious. Come on, Eric. Tell your neighbor, Bible study. Look at your neighbor, say Bible study. It's serious business. Amen. Amen. It's serious business. And we said a good teacher is first a good student and a good reader, right? Right? So if you don't read well, you won't teach well. So you know that why this guy is such a good teacher of the world is because he's a good student and a good reader. Amen. Okay, anyway. You must be a good reader and a good student. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. So, we say there are three kinds of reading. What are the three kinds? Let me see who is in church. The first kind of reading, glance, where you glance through, right? Right? You don't see the recent that happened this week. Some people came and said, CBN are closed, Kuda, Ope, and Moneypoint with PalmPay. Automatically, I know you didn't read it. You only glanced through. Amen. Because you are reading headline. Newspaper wants to sell. So you just see CBN clamps on Kuda, Ope, PalmPay, and Kuda, and Moneypoint. Because you know your money is there. Say, hey, my money, they've closed it. Well, I'm telling you, they didn't close it. They only said they shouldn't open accounts anymore. Did you see that? Because of some regulation, some regulatory stuff that was breached. Hallelujah. But a glance reading wouldn't make you read down. You only say, hey, they've closed it. Amen. I know I've answered several people on that same question to this morning. I didn't answer somebody this morning when he said, that's if they've closed okay. I said, no, they've not. So that automatically makes me know you didn't read it. You only saw headline. Did you see that? Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So you must not read in a glance. So that glance reading, right? When you just slip through the pages, you can't know anything by that. You only have read knowledge. You didn't actually know what's there. The second kind of reading is what? Bias reading. Bias, right? Is it bias you said? Bias reading, where you read with sentiment. Whether you have a sentiment in your head, you are biased, or you are coming, you are reading the Bible to prove, to back up. Some people like that, to back up. There's nothing that can be backed up. Yeah? You read the Bible to back up. That's wrong. You don't read with a biased mindset. Amen. What's the thought? Wholesome reading. Thank you. Wholesome reading. Wholesome reading is when you read everything. Hallelujah. You read everything. And you read it systematically. Systematically means from the beginning. How many of you will go to an exam hall, 26 chapters, and then you leave chapter 1 to chapter 18 and start away from chapter 20? Don't worry, God will touch his heart. You're waiting for AOC that will never come. AOC, area of concentration. You know you can't do that for JAM. Oh yeah, those people are waiting for AOC. AOC showed up in their results. Is it sure? Is AOC? We're waiting for AOC. You read everything. Hallelujah. Amen. Read everything. AOC, come. Like I said to you guys, even if they give me AOC, I just do read everything. Because I know that beyond that class, beyond that exam, right, I will still need that knowledge. So usually we just sit and read everything. Okay. I just to read everything. Just have it as a call to read things everything. Okay, everything. Amen. So hold some reading. So we said, so that said, rather, the Jesus questioned how the Pharisees read. Now, the Pharisees were astute teachers of the law. That is to say, the Pharisees, for you to be a Pharisee, you must know Genesis minimum, you must know Genesis to Deuteronomy by heart. You'll be able to quote it by heart. Not memory battle. You are not any memory battle. You know, you will start from Genesis 1:1, the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was brought from above, and that was the surface of the deep, and the spirit of the Lord moved before the surface of the earth. You will say it like that, the Deuteronomy ends. That's who a Pharisee is. But yet, Jesus questioned the Pharisees, telling them that they did not read well. You know what to say? Didn't you read? Look at Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Jesus will question them. He said, have you not read? Is that same people who were supposed to know this thing that they have you not read? Look at Matthew 19. Verse 4. And some of us said, the Pharisees came along unto him, tempting him, saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? They came to tempt him. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus answered and said to them, have you not read? So when they came to him, asking him, shall a man put away his wife for every cause? That is Deuteronomy. They gave the meeting with Deuteronomy, and Jesus said, have you not read? He that made them at the beginning. Where's beginning, everybody? Where's beginning? Genesis. So, Jesus is saying, why are you asking me questions from Deuteronomy? It's just like saying, where are you going? Why are you asking me this kind of question? Question in chapter 18. If you have read from chapter 1, you'll be asking me this question. Did you do that? That's what Jesus has said. He says, have you not read? He that made them at the beginning made them male and female. Meaning telling them that if you had sorted out this issue in Genesis, you wouldn't have it as a problem in Deuteronomy. Amen. Amen. So what does he say? He says, shall a man put away his wife for any cause? He said, he that made them at the beginning made them male and female. So what Jesus is coming at was that patriarchal culture. Amen. When the man is exonerated and the woman is dealt with. You know, at the beginning, what you find is male and female married to God. So, it's pointing their attention to God's ideal marriage is man and God. You see that, and in man, you find male and female. Jesus points their attention back. Do you understand me? It's like making you see that in the beginning you have male and female together in God. No separation. I heard someone yesterday that was saying if a man should kneel down to propose to his wife, that the man has lost his place. That a man is supposed to be called Lord. And the man I'm proposed is demonic. Ha! Are we cool? Say that. Oh, God. True, all right. Let's do that. Say it's demonic. Because the sister called Abraham Lord. God. That's it, okay. Wisdom will still propose and we'll see. Somebody to propose and use candle to make love. Has he lost his mouth? Yes. Now, you should stop talking nonsense. Are you no longer the man of your house because you propose? Like, I propose this. Propose anyway. stop saying some nonsense. If you don't want us to do things for social media, tell us. We understand. But don't use. Amen. Don't use some nonsense principle. Amen. Say lost. We lost us. Jacob worked for 3 years for one man. Yours is just proposed with one knee. Jacob, he worked for 3 years. 7 years they gave him wrong woman Lee. And that man couldn't even tell Jacob that this is not Rebecca. Alright. She lock up. Somebody lock up. Lock up where? I said Rebecca. Is it not Rachel, right? It is not, he couldn't even say it's me, Lee. It's not Rachel. He allowed Jacob to take her home. And when Jacob comes, he said, you know, when they give you fufu phone, you buy phone. You buy phone inside traffic. And you go home. You keep the phone in your pocket. All of a sudden, the locks is not smelling everywhere. Or fufu is smelling. Who bought fufu? And you bring out the phone on his fufu. But this phone, when I put it into my phone, it still showed me Apple sign. They have joined you, the more you look, the less you see. But sir, I saw a blackberry. It's not only blackberry, it's blueberry. So, sir, pray in tongues. And you went to buy a phone on Sunday. Glory to God. Glory to God. You don't go home. Look at me and say, so sir, you want to meet his inner sir? He's Rachel now. For the bright side. He said, you have to walk another seven. He did lose his dignity. Just as I knelt down now. And I'm saying I've lost my dignity. Glory to God. And as you know, school. So Jesus questioned how they read. Hallelujah. And the same goes for how you listen. Some people listen with distraction. When we listen with distraction, you're in church, pastor is teaching, you are thinking about after match. You are thinking about, you are distracted. You are already daydreaming about how after is going to carry EPA that they will never carry. It's a dreamy. I've not gone to pray yesterday for my people to lose the world. I say, how? How? It's actually God. And come next week Sunday. We'll rejoice here together. But the title will be God. Hallelujah. That is good now. By hook or by crook, it's too good. But you can't be in church. I guess it's Sunday. I'm going to be so... Don't worry. Hey, you say, sir, but pastor, no, not to be shared about your heart. No, for us now. I'm working in love with man. We are blue. You can't love everybody. You want to fight.
Yeah.
But London was always the beach.
Okay, let's continue. So, some people listen with distraction in their mind. Seriously, you are here, your mind is somewhere. No, let's not have to listen yet. Amen. Amen. We saw Jesus, right, last week in Luke chapter 2, right? He was with the teachers of the law and was asking them questions. He was listening well. So sometimes people listen with distraction. Sometimes also people listen to find faults. It's a wrong way to listen. I call it bias listening. When you listen to find faults, you come with, I want to find faults. So you're not coming to learn. Hallelujah. Amen. But the best way to listen, to learn, is to listen with full attention. Give your attention to that thing. Amen. Give your attention to what you are listening to. Amen. Give your full committed attention to it. Hallelujah. Amen. And in giving attention to it, you ask questions. Questions to learn, not mischievous questions. Amen. I don't have a mischievous questions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you pay attention. You read well. And at Geno school, to read again. To read again. In Matthew 12, they came to meet Jesus and asked Jesus, Matthew 12 from verse 1, and asked him, verse 2, but when the Pharisees saw it, that they ate, the disciples plucked corn to eat on Sabbath day, they came to meet Jesus and said, your disciples were doing what was not lawful to be done on Sabbath day. You see that? And Jesus said what, in verse 3, have you not read again? I said, didn't you read? Listen, they came to say, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to be done on the Sabbath. I just have you not read? David. He called David. He said, David, when he was hungry, and they that were with him, they entered into the house of God and eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for them to eat. So Jesus is not saying that, Jesus is not promoting people to be, how should I put it now? He's not promoting people to misbehave, no. But rather, he's letting them see. If you read well, you observe that what Moses gave was a symbol, not the real thing. So he took their mind back to some things that were normally not lawful to be done, that people did that nothing happened to them. Making them see that what Moses gave to you was a symbol. This is not the real thing. What are you doing? Amen. I'm trying to be fast. But now I've taught you this before. In Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Again, they came to meet Jesus. And they said, asking him question about the resurrection. Resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. About resurrection. So the man got married to a wife. And the man died. According to the law, the brother will marry the wife. So the first brother married died, second died, third died, fourth died, all to the seven, and all of them plus Zumanan died. Before, who will be alive? They all died finally. So everybody died. Now ask the question, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? People still ask such kind of stupid questions today. Amen. But the stupid question. And Jesus said, he said, you err, not knowing the scripture of the power of God. Say, for in the resurrection, they never marry or are given in marriage. For as the angels of God, in heaven, say, angels of God there, it means there is nothing called marriage. Amen. That's angels of God in heaven. Watch it. He said, but according to the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what is spoken unto God, what is spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead but of the living. You understood that nobody asked me a question. Amen. And they just left. Why? Because when they say God is not the God of the dead, when you measure Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, you can't say, you know that they know that those guys are gone, they are dead, right? But the Jews, when you hear Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, when you hear Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, they understood that these are their fathers, right? And they are alive. So the Messiah is the God of those who are living. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So automatically, Jesus is saying this, keep the faith. So let's get into our teaching today. So last week we said, you must look at the origin of words, right? Did you say that? I will look at the word animals, right? We say animals, many times in scriptures are not used literal, right? They are used to connote different kinds of men. For example, when Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 17, Luke 10, when he told his disciples in Luke 10, 17, he said, I give unto thee power to tread upon snakes and scorpions, and over all the works of the enemy. Stop. And nothing shall by enemies hurt you. When he said snakes and scorpions, does it mean that when you go for evangelism, remember he was talking about that in the place of evangelism. But does it mean when you go for evangelism, you should be seeing snakes, go and be looking for snakes and be matching them? No. When he says you have tread upon snakes and scorpions, it's referring to the different kinds of men you will see on your journey to evangelism. Amen. And he calls those attitudes the works of the devil. Amen. He calls it the works of the enemy. You will find it exhibited through men. Amen. So we say animals are used to describe different kinds of men. And in Genesis 3, we saw the serpent. Right? And I told you, when we get to Genesis 3, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try my best to do, because I know I have to battle with school, contemporary time, but I'm going to do this for my children. Now, here's what you should do, because some of us see today when you hear serpent. So see tomorrow when you hear serpent, you might see goes to snake coming down the tree and talking to Eve. I wonder why it is that this female voice. It is Alpha. Maybe gossip, right? It is Alpha. Are you trying to summon me to chop any fruit for that tree? The listener. Ah! He's a liar, Alpha. God is not actually talk like that, though.
And you know, this
is it. Your eyes go open.
You think it was one snake that came down from tree? No. Amen.
One, when you use, watch this, Genesis 3.
Well, see what I'm not supposed to say now. Amen.
Okay. Now, first of all, it says the serpent was more subtle, right? So we say that is functionality, right? Okay. So we said the serpent in Genesis 3 was used to describe a supernatural being. He said, I told you that was not a snake. Serpent is used to describe a supernatural being that had interaction with Eve, with man. Hallelujah. They had interaction with man. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we saw that. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 quickly. Verses 2. He says, for I'm jealous over you, will go to jealousy. If I have espoused you to one husband, I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. I fear this by every enemies, as the serpent began it through its subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So that means what happened to Eve was a corruption away from the simplicity that is found in Christ. Hallelujah. A deviation, a corruption. Amen. And he was referring here towards false prophets. False teacher. So I said, at the background of false teaching, at the background of false teaching is what? A supernatural being. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. A supernatural being. Remember, I'm teaching you what I said to supernatural help. Hallelujah. Supernatural help. We'll get into details of our teaching today very well. Amen. Amen. So the background of false teaching is supernatural being, the devil. And its goal is to make you doubt God's word. What did he tell Eve? Remember, look at how Paul puts it. He said, to corrupt one from the simplicity. So what Satan does is to make you doubt God's word. That very word that God said to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, thou shalt not eat of this tree, Satan came. And did what? Deceived man to doubt God's word.
So one of Satan's, one thing that Satan does is to bring doubt towards God's promise, doubt towards God's word. Amen. He comes against God's word. When Jesus was to talk about the seed that fell by the wayside, he said, the one that fell by the wayside, he said, what happened? He said, the breath of the earth came quickly to take it away. And Jesus said, he referred to the birth of the air as who? Satan. Do you see that? Satan comes from God's word. Amen. Amen. Okay, hear me. He comes to make you doubt God's word. That's what he does. So when you find false teaching, teaching against God's word, against the that comes against the simplicity that is found in Christ, take note, it is false teaching, it is antichrist. Like I told you, antichrist, antichrist, as we call it, is not a person but a message. I think we're going to look at that sometime in the year. Hallelujah. Antichrist. Glory to God. So antichrist is a message, and it has been since when? Genesis. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So, that's very vital. So, listen. So, what Moses is telling now is that at the back of unbelief, right? At the back of unbelief is a supernatural being, the devil. Because that was what happened to Eve. So, what is Moses writing? Moses is writing for you to see two things in one. He's writing for you to see what sin does to man. Watch it. He's writing for you to see what sin does. When he writes Adam and Eve, he's writing for you to see what sin does to man. And what you have at the background of that sin is what? The devil. Don't miss it. A supernatural being. Okay, hear me. Supernatural being. Okay. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. So, what is that deceit? What is that deceit? It says, the day you eat of it, your eye will be open and you'll be like God. Right? Right? Did we see that? And what do we call that? Independence away from God. So, what Satan offered man is independence from God. And in chapter 3, verse 23, God said, man has become what? Independent of God. Genesis 3, verse 23. So therefore, God sent him away from the garden to see the God said, okay, verses 22. Man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And when he said that, it looked as if Satan's words have come to pass, but no. Amen. What he said, man has become like one of us, it means man is now independent of us. Do you see that? It's independent of us. So what Satan offered man is independence away from God. Something you're going to see clearly was what God said, but Satan now cooked it. So Satan will always offer you, we're going to see that shortly now. Just listen now. Now, so what Satan offered man is a promise of independence against God. Right? Independence away from God. And this is against how God created man. God didn't create man to be independent of him. We'll see all this now. Amen. But rather, God created man to depend on him. So the deceit is, yes, the deceit. Because Satan said, you'll be like God. Independent of God, right? And whatever will happen, God says so too. So man is independent of him. So what is the deceit? The deceit here is that there's nothing called independence. Did I tell us this last week? That there's nothing called independence. Why? Because God created man. Right? God created man to rely on him. To rely on him. Outside God is called death. To be away from God is not independence, but death. Okay, to be away from God is not independence, but death. Okay, I will do. Now, what is death? Darkness. Did you see that? Is that Genesis 1:2? Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Man outside God. Earth outside the heaven. He calls it darkness. Man outside God. So that means to be outside God, to be away from God, is to be dependent on the devil, is to be in darkness. Not independent, but to be dependent on the devil. That is the deceit. Amen. That is the deceit. Okay, follow me. So the deceit there is not independence, but actually death. So death is not when somebody falls down to the ground. No. Death is forced in scripture away from God. A man away from God is dead. Okay, following me. Amen. 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 Okay, following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Someone said, a dear man of God said this years back, and I love it. He said, the fishes cannot function outside the water. So can a man not function outside God? Man is created to be dependent on God. The same way fishes are created to be dependent on water. Hallelujah. Love it. And that's true. Man is created to be dependent on God. When men take a fish out of water, the fish is struggling to get back to water. And he can't stay long, it will die. Right? Amen. Man cannot function outside God. Effectively. Okay, hear me. Hallelujah. So, God made man dependent on him. Let's see how God made man in Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the surface of the earth. So, Moses picked this, how God created man, the universal man, to talk about God's promise. Okay, hear me? Moses picked this. This is how God created universal man, in his image. So, Moses used it to talk about God's promise of man in his image. But this is how God created man, in his image. In Genesis 9, verse 6. Let's see that again. Genesis 9, 6. Genesis 9, 6. It says, whoso shedded man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Do you see how God made man? Amen. So Moses employed how God made man in Genesis chapter 1 to show talk about God's promise. Do you see that? Amen. Don't miss that. He employed, this is how God made man. Right? The same way he will talk about the Garden of Eden. It was a choice location, but he used it to talk about God's garden. Okay, follow me. So he employed how God made man to talk about man in, I mean, how he wants man to be in his image, right? But he made man in his image. Watch it. We're coming to see something. How did God make man? 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 In his image. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Chapter 2, verse 5. Genesis 2, 5. Okay, no? That's the 5. 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed unto his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Hallelujah. He made man in his image and he formed man from the dust of the earth. I need you to see this. He formed man from the dust of the earth. So, listen. But if the word dust there is the word afar, A-P-H-A-R, to talk about free, made man free. So, listen. When he made man in Genesis 2, in verses 8, he put man in the garden. He put man in the garden, meaning God's plan is for man to function effectively in both worlds. Which world? Supernatural world and the natural. So he made man natural and supernatural. Amen. 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 You know, someone defined man as man is a spirit that has a soul and lives in the body. So with the body he made, and you can also say man is spirit, soul and body. Amen. Amen. With the spirit, it makes, it has interaction with supernatural, with the supernatural. With the body, it has interaction with the physical things. And with the soul, it has interactions with the intellectual things. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So God made man to function in two worlds, in the two worlds effectively, the natural and the supernatural. God made man to function in both worlds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And take note, something we're going to see is Genesis 1:1 into 3. Let's see together. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. What is in the beginning? What's God's plan in the beginning? Heaven and earth. Did you see that? Did you see that? In the beginning is what? Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Verse 2. The earth was without form and void. The earth without the heaven. He calls it darkness of what? Surface of the deep. And God said, in verse 3, let there be light. Hallelujah. So the darkness, is it physical darkness or supernatural darkness? It's supernatural darkness, not physical darkness. Because if it was physical darkness, when God separated light from day, light from darkness, he still went ahead to make the sun, the moon, and the stars. This is that to make you see that the darkness was supernatural darkness, right? And the light is supernatural light. Hallelujah. Supernatural. Now, you have to put this somewhere. So that means we have what is called the light and we have the dark supernatural. Amen. We have light. Okay, I want to put it like this for the sake of this class. We have light supernatural and dark supernatural. Did you understand that? We have the light supernatural and the dark supernatural. It's there. It's clear. It's scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Dark supernatural and light supernatural. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But the light supernatural is supposed to shine in the dark. Hope you're following me. In the dark supernatural. So that is just it. The light should prevail over the dark. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Light should prevail over the dark. So in Genesis 2, I need you to observe this flow now in Genesis 2. Don't miss this flow. From verse 15. Now, verse 15. And the Lord took the man he made and put him in the garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. Hold on to them. He put man in the garden of Eden. Now this is showing dependence. But we're not getting there yet. I'm going to show you why I said so. Now, but I need you to observe the conversation. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat it. For in the day thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, and the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet. Watch it. I'll make him an helpmeet for him. Very vital. Now, when it says, it tells man not to eat of, it took man into the Garden of Eden. Now, one of the characteristics you find in Garden of Eden is what? They are trees. Right? Did you see that? They are trees. Now, one thing you must do is to pick that word trees. And what is the cultural context of trees? What's the cultural context of trees? Trees, a place like that, where you find trees. Now, remember I told you the Garden of Eden was a known place. Moses was using a known place to teach them about God, oracle, right? Now, when you find trees like that, trees in their world is used for the supernatural. Amen. It's used for supernatural. So, in their world, when you find trees, when you want to talk about the supernatural, you talk about the supernatural with trees. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, some cultures have that till today. Till today. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Where they go to trees and then they take and then they build shrines around trees just to show supernatural. But it talks about the supernatural.
Hallelujah. That's the culture of that day. So that means the Garden of Eden is a supernatural place. So God made man and put man where? In the supernatural. But we're going to explain that further. Hallelujah. He put man in the supernatural. So man's function was to be, man was supposed to function effectively in the supernatural. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, watch it. So, he now says, so when he says to them, of every tree freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shouldn't eat. Right? So the day you eat of it, you will die. So what is death again? Away from God. Right? Is it independent from God? Yes, which is away from God. Right? So death is away from God. And what is away from God? Darkness. Right? Right? That supernatural, right? Come on, come on. Some people are sleeping. Hope you're understanding me. At this point, are you understanding me? If you don't understand, I can come back. Who is lost? Who is lost? Are you lost? Are you lost? Yes. Okay. Do you understand what I've been saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you sure? You're going to explain after you. You explain it, right? God bless you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sure. What is dark supernatural? No! What is dark supernatural? What is dark supernatural?
You know, it's okay.
From Christ in Genesis. Okay. Amen. Glory to God. So that is darkness, right? Right? So the dark supernatural will be darkness. Supernatural. So when God says, when you eat of it, you will die, he's talking about away from God, dark supernatural. Okay, but that's supernatural. Follow the flow. Then, that is verse 17, right? Right? And then say, and the Lord God said, it is no good for man to be alone. I'll make him and help me. Do you think he's talking about a woman? How can God move from supernatural talk to a woman? Think about it. Amen. It can be possible. How can after this wonderful talk, he then jump to woman? So he's talking about, he put him in a supernatural place. He said, all the trees, you don't eat on the tree of knowledge. If not, you will be away from me. And then you will be in a dark supernatural. And then they are talking about woman. How? Did you see that? So that means whatever thing he is still saying, is still around the supernatural. Hope you're following me. So he now says, it's not good for man to be alone. So God is explaining, it's not good for man to be away from him. Did you see how Moses is writing? It's not good for man to be in a dark supernatural. It's not good for man to be in death. Follow me? Say, I will make him and help me. So what is the help me? What is the help me? Is woman? No! Amen! Woman is not an help me! I want to get married to the bone of my bone. If I left your left ear, you get married to the bone of my bone. Is your bone not complete? And the woman is laughing. I'm the bone of his bone. Your father paid your school fees. From primary school to secondary school to university, you are working all your life, you are a bone. God forbid. You want to be a bone, I reject it for you. How can you be a bone? Hallelujah! A woman is not a bone. Bone core. Bunga fish ni. The bone. Bone of my bone. Flesh of my flesh. life.
And yet, you now be confessing God's word, I'm complete in Him. I am looking for bone. Amen. Don't talk that. Amen. Amen. So, come on. Help me. Let's see what help me is. That word help me is the word in the Greek, I mean in the Hebrew, Izer, E-Z-E-R. Let's see how that word is used. The word is used 21 times. I'm going to read a few, and then I'll give you the remaining. Amen. To read. So the word is used 21 times, and they are all used for God. So there's never a time the Izer, the help, help is called a woman. Woman help. When you are still driving, you have flat tire on the road. The man will not help you to jack, to raise the jack. She will be inside. And you still raise half of the motor with the jack. I say, it's help me. Yeah, help me. Only help me. I don't know what's in my mind though. Even fish says it's not there. It's help kuli kuli. What is help me? Say yes. Say yes. I don't know that. Ray, maybe a man and a woman are walking. On that ray, the man will not remove his suit. Now give to the woman. And say it's love. He says, you are in love. Then I shall take my coat. We will do it with you. They know they are going for the visit here. It's the man's own coat that will come and collect. That coat will kill the man at this. That is a visit. They know they are. Father, can I use you? So, okay, you are not feeling cold. Me, they gave it to me, is that it? Amen. You have to say, help me. No, no, I mean, help me because I can wash. Thank God, we don't have washing machines to put away now. Now we don't have robots. Let's not continue. Amen. But the woman is not to help me. Just, that is, what I said was just an aside. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. When you want to get married, because I want somebody to help me wash my clothes. You will not get married in this life. It's not a sweat. Because I'm your pastor. And after you want to get married, I'm already giving you a sign. I want somebody to help me cook. Wash my clothes. If you get married, maybe you went to another church. Or you ran away from church. Oh, you're going to get married. Amen. And some people, really water they can boil. I know them. And fry yam. Water, fry yam, cook yam. If I give you the cooking of yam, they can cook the yam with the back. Understand those ones. But me, it's not to own fire. Amen. Yeah, the girl. Glory to God. But let's see, help me. In Deuteronomy, okay, before we get to Deuteronomy, Exodus 18. 18 verse 4, Exodus 18, 4. Are you there? It says, and the name of the other was Elijah, for the God of my father, he said, it was my help. Did you see that? Who is the help? God. You have to be fast now opening your Bible. God of my father. Deuteronomy, quickly, 33. Deuteronomy 33, 7. Deuteronomy 33, verse 7. Are you there? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh yes. Oh yes. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Oh Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh yes, oh yes. Hallelujah, he arose. Oh yes, oh yes. Hallelujah, he arose. Okay. 10:37, are you there? Are you there? Okay. Both of you should share. That's why I gave you that Bible. Both of you should share this one, yeah? Okay. Verse 7, are you there? Okay, let's go together. I want to go. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he says, yeah, Lord, the voice of Judah. Do thou and earth to him from the enemy. Who is he referring to? God. Right? He says, hear Lord, the voice of Judah. Right? Are you with me? Verse 26, let's read verse 26 together. One to go. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and his excellency on the sky. Hope you have seen it. Hope you have seen it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So God is called the help. Look at verses 29. Want to go? Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So who is God help? Who is God help? God is the help. Hallelujah. God is God help. Look at Psalms 20. Psalms 20. Quickly, Psalms 20. Glory, 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 glory. Woo! Are you there? Psalms 20. Let's read verse 1 into 2. 1 to go. No, let's start again. 1 to go. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Hallelujah. So who sends help? God. Hallelujah. Psalms 33. Hope you're following this. Psalms 33 verse 20. Psalms 33 verse 20. Are you there? Psalms 33 verse 20, let's read. Want to go. Our soul waited for the Lord. He's our help and our shield. Hallelujah. So who is our help? Who is our help? God is our help. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalm 70 quickly. Psalm 70. Verses 5. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, glory. Are you there? That's it. It says, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarry. Hallelujah. Thou art my help. So that means in delivery, in salvation, he is our help. Hallelujah. So that salvation fact. Salvation fact is God as a helper. Amen. So we can say the indwelling is God has helped us. Hallelujah. How do you see that? Amen. So God is our help. This is a topic we're going to explore. Hallelujah. For the coming days and coming weeks, God is our help. In such a time like this. Hallelujah. God is our help. God is our help. Look at what the psalmist said. We're going to explore the psalmist again. We're going to explore what David said. Look at Psalms 89. Psalms 89 verse 19. Ooh, glory. Then we'll go to Psalms 121. Psalms 89, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Verse 19 says, "Thou, when then thou speakest in a vision to the Holy One, and say, I have laid hell upon one that is mighty, as exalted one chosen out of thy people." Hallelujah. The way from verse 18 speaks about the Lord, says, "For the Lord is our defense, and all the Holy One, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God is our help. God is our help. God is our help. Hallelujah. You can read, have Psalms 119 from verse 9 to, I mean Psalms 115 from verse 9 to 11. I read from verse 9, 10 and 11. But jump to Psalms 121. Hallelujah. 18 texts that we have for this teaching. Hallelujah. I'll just read it, then we'll pick it up from there. I mean, we'll pick it up from, we'll look at this text in the coming days. Hallelujah. It says, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hill. From whence cometh my help?" Hallelujah. Did you see that? "I will lift up my eyes unto the hill. From where cometh my help?" Say, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Did you see that? Who is God help? God. God is help. God is help. We also find it in Psalms 124 verse 8. Psalms 146 verse 5. 124 verse 8, 146 verse 5. Ezekiel 12 verse 14. Hosea 13:9. God is our help. Hallelujah. God is our help. God is man's help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is how God created man. This is how God created man. Hallelujah. God created man so that man will need God. God created man to be helped by God. So God, man is created to be dependent on God. To be dependent on God. So away from God is the reason why we now have, when people, you know, away from God, that is unbelief. Right? When a man is born again, he has received God. When he says, "I'll make him and help me," God is saying, he's talking about the union of man and God. It's not good for man to be alone. When he says man to be alone, there's no male. He's talking about he made them male and female. So sometimes when you read, it's not good for man. When sometimes you read man in Genesis, he has already shown you in Genesis 1:27, he made them male and female. So it's talking about universal man. Hallelujah. Male and female. So who is in need of help? Is it just the male man or male and female? Hallelujah. Male and female. So it's in need of help. So it's not good for man to be without God. It's not good for man to be without God. So God says, "I will make him a helpmate." That is, God is saying, "I will be his helpmate." That's what God is saying. "I will be his helpmate. I will be." Amen. "I will be man's helpmate. I will be." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So away from God is not to have God as your help. Away from God is to be darkness. It's to be dependent on the devil. But who is supposed to be your help? God. So that's away from God, which is unbelief, right? Right? So I want to say something before I say this. I want to first very much be accepted. So that means when a man is born again, has he received help? Come on, has he received help? Does he have God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So away from God is the reason for God. Away from God is the reason for voodoo, idol worship. Amen. So when you find voodoo, idol worship, is away from God. God. Amen. And it's called rebellion from God. Or rebellion away from God. It's called rebellion. Hallelujah. Why? When a man is away from God, because God has made man that way to be dependent on the supernatural, he
Watch it. Because God has made man that way, to be dependent on him, the supernatural. Right? So away from God, there is that hunger and that taste for God. There is that hunger for the supernatural. Every man knows. No matter how you try to be an atheist, every man knows somewhere that there is that hunger for God in him. There's that hunger. Sometimes they can't even place it. Yes, I know. Hallelujah. But there's that hunger for God in man. There's that hunger for God. So, because there's that hunger, man goes into voodoo. Because man wants to always have contact or have something, wants to, there's that hunger to be, to get back to the supernatural, to get back to God, the supernatural, so man goes into voodoo, goes into jazz. Did you see that? Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. It goes into jazz. And jazz and voodoo is away from God. That is, so jazz and voodoo is that dark supernatural. Did you see that? Because of that quest, man's quest for God, he leads himself into jazz and voodoo, that supernatural, under the control dominion of the devil. He now serves the devil. He's now under the bondage of the devil. Did you see that? Amen. Can you see? So what is the reason for voodoo? Man is away from God. What is the reason for jazz? Man is away from God. Also too, occultism, right, is man's quest for the supernatural. Occultism, another one, highness, you know, to get high, want to get high, using of drugs. Because something like that, Satan is not deceiving men. No, let's not, we don't want to think about God, let's just get high. That is that same thing. There is that vacuum in man for God. So man tries to fill it up with anything. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go clubbing. Goes clubbing. Smooth loud. And low. And everything. Smoke weed, Ghanaian, Indian hemp, everything. Is that quest? Is that vacuum? Hallelujah, that is a man for God. So when you see a man, watch it. So, drugs, highness, which is alcoholism, drunkenness, occultism, voodoo, jazz, is a what? Vacuum. Right? Is man thirsting and hungry for God? Dark water? Dark water? Darkness? So what is supposed to happen to darkness? Light. So I said that earlier, and I told you to pay attention, that there are two, they don't talk about the supernatural, they have the light supernatural and the dark supernatural, but the light supernatural is supposed to shine in the darkness, right? Right? So when you find that thing, those things, so the man that is in Christ, is that light supernatural? Is that light? Is he in God? So what is he supposed to do? Supposed to shine in darkness, right? So when you find one that is into voodoo, jazz, drinking, occultism, prostitution, and the like, it's that supernatural. So you're supposed to shine God's light on it by the preaching of the gospel. Isn't that? So because man hunger and taste for something, and they don't know, is a legitimate hunger. God puts it there. Okay, enemy. Amen. Alright, enemy. God puts it there. And you know what? Except man gets back to God, he will never find that hunger or that taste satisfied. Even in their wood and their jazz and their drugs. Never. Nothing replaces that God's taste and hunger. Nothing. Hallelujah. Can only be God. And that is why he has given us his word. Hope you are following me. Amen. Yeah. So when I tell you preaching the gospel is supernatural, this is where I'm coming from. It's supernatural. The supernatural hunger that is in man. Hope you are hearing me. The supernatural hunger. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So, let's begin to get closer to our conclusion today. So, in Genesis 2:8, Moses began to, so Moses writing about man's dependency in 2:8, he said, the Lord planted the garden eastward, and then he put the man which he had formed. Chapter 2, look at verses 15, verses 15. And the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to dress and to keep it. Right? And this is Moses writing about man's dependency. And he shows you man, he shows you man's dependency by God creating man and putting man where? In his garden. So when you hear the garden, what does it mean? The garden of Eden. Remember, I told you it's full of what? Trees. Trees is used to talk about the word supernatural. Right? So the garden of Eden was used by Moses to explain God's presence. God's presence. God himself. God's presence, God's spirit. So, of course, God's family, God's land. God's land, God's family, right? God's presence. He used to explain God's land. So, something we'll see next week, that you will see you can put the garden and the land on the same page as well. The garden, the land, the sea, they'll be the same. So that is Moses explaining the same thing with different shapes. The garden, the land, the sea. The garden, the land, the sea. Hope you are with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. We're closing like I said. So, and when man sinned, in the garden, he was away. God took him out of the garden. Did you see that? So you found God said you would die, and God took him out of the garden. When man sinned, he was away from God's garden. Is that so? What Moses is writing is to tell you what sin does, what unbelief does. Unbelief keeps you away from God, away from God's garden, away from God's land, away from God's presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that will be called death. Death. So, in chapter 4, when you think it's just Adam and Eve that was in the garden, no, you now find Cain and Abel in the same garden. Amen. So when Cain killed Abel, in verses 12, look at verse 14, look at what Cain said to Abel. He said, behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. This is that. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and shall come to Babylon, and findeth me, shall slay me. So Cain said, God had driven him away from his face. Did you see that? From his face. So, what then is the Garden of Eden? The Garden of Eden is not just a tomato garden. You find today, the Garden of Eden. No. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. The Garden of Eden is Garden of God. Talking about garden, we're going to look at all this. Garden is used for a sacred place. Garden is used for a sacred place. Used to denote a sacred place. Sacred. So they say the Garden of Eden, it means the sacred place of Eden. And look at what it's called. The Garden of Eden is called the Garden of God. God's sacred place. God's sacred place. That God's sacred land. That God's land. God's sea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Isaiah 51 verse 3. Look at two more scriptures as we go. Isaiah 51, verse 3. Amen. Said, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort our waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden. Watch it. And a desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found there. Thanksgiving and voice of melody. So he calls the Eden the garden of the Lord. The what? Garden of the Lord. Eden is called the garden of the Lord. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28. Verse 13. Are you there? You see, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. This is that thou hast been in Eden. What does he call Eden? The garden of God, the sacred place of God. This is that sacred place of God. Sacred place of God. In chapter 31, verse 9. It says, I've made him fair by multitude of branches, so that the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God, everything, garden of, isn't that garden of God? So Eden is called the garden of God. So, hallelujah. So when we use the word the garden of Eden, sacred place, right? Garden is called sacred place. So the garden is used in a supernatural context. God's garden. God's sacred place. Hallelujah. The same way we say God's land. The same way we say God's land. Therefore, by default, right? God put man in the garden of Eden. Hallelujah. God put man in the garden of Eden. So I say it like this. Man by default was created to seek after God. Man by default was created to be dependent on God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Meant to be dependent on God. Some people want to see is our dependency on God only for salvation. Once we just get born again, oh, we receive God's help and that is all. Or is there more to it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But to be born again, is to be helped by God. To be born again is to be helped by God. You'll be helped by God. When a man is born again, I've received God's help. Hallelujah. But does he end there? Does he end there? We explore further. Hallelujah. Does he help them? Does he end there? We explore further. Hallelujah. But he doesn't help them. But I'm helped by God in the new birth. I'm helped by God in the new birth. I'm helped by God in the new birth. Hallelujah. You know, you can always say that to yourself. I'm helped by God. Always helped by God. Always helped by God. I'm helped by God. I'm helped by God. You know, things can drive your mind away and then begin to depend only on technology. Some people now depend on drugs. No, hallelujah. My dependency first is on God. Hallelujah. I depend on God. I'm well helped. I'm mightily helped. See, to be born again is to be well helped. Hallelujah. I'm delivered. I'm helped of God. I'm helped of God. Hallelujah. That is why Moses had to tell it down that God had to go to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel. Because on their own, they couldn't deliver themselves. Hallelujah. God had to help them. Hallelujah. So salvation is God's help. Is God's help. Hallelujah. I'm helped of God. Always helped of God. This week, I receive help. I walk in God's help. Every day. Every day. Hallelujah. We exploit more. Hallelujah. We exploit more. And you know, the goal of this teaching is to make the believer always 24 hours dependent on God's help. Amen. Always. I depend on God's help. God's help is not for a season. God's help is always. I depend on God's help. Hallelujah. I'm mightily helped of God. Mightily helped of God. Don't just say my Christian life for an oral application of life. I'm helped of God. I'm helped of God. What I want you to do is, some people try to, you know, you can be a word man. Word man. You can be a word man that you now begin to say, no, this one is not my, this one is not spiritual life, this is just carnal life, this is just social, this is just work, this is not God. No. Amen. Amen. You know, this is the hell to door. This is not the word. This is hell. Let me just go to the hospital. I'm not saying that the hospital is wrong, but let me just depend on the door.
No.
Amen. Amen. I'm a believer. I'm a believer all around. Amen. I'm a believer all around. I believe God all around. Doesn't matter. God is my help. God is my help. God is my help. Hallelujah. And this teaching will also learn how to receive God's help. We must learn how to receive God's help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Learn something? Learn something? Are you sure? Okay, let's take from few people. Two.